a double fatal in Ashland County. I'm Melissa Patrick. Yesterday at approximately 6 a.m., troopers from the Ashland Highway Patrol Post were dispatched to a serious injury crash involving three vehicles on U.S. 30 and State Route 511. A Dodge Dart was northbound on State Route 511. A Peterbilt semi, truck, and trailer were eastbound on U.S. 30 approaching State Route 511. And a Ford Transit van was westbound on U.S. 30 also approaching State Route 511. The Dodge Dart failed to stop at the stop sign on State Route 511 at the intersection of U.S. 30 and was struck by the Peterbilt semi-truck. After the collision, the Peterbilt semi-truck went off the left side of the roadway across the median and into the westbound lanes of U.S. 30. The Peterbilt semi-truck then struck the Ford Transit van, who was westbound on U.S. 30. The Peterbilt semi-truck and the Ford Transit van came to a final rest off the north side of U.S. 30. The driver of the Dodge Dart, Malachi James Harley John Whitehead, age 23, of Worcester, was pronounced deceased at the scene. The driver of the Ford Transit van, David L. Coons, age 61, of Worcester, was also pronounced deceased at the scene. The driver of the Peterbilt semi-truck, Mac A. Johnson, age 24, of South Pasadena, Florida, was transported by EMS to UH Samaritan Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. A juvenile passenger from the Ford Transit van was life-flighted to Ohio Health Mansfield Hospital with serious injuries. All occupants involved in the crash were wearing their safety belts at the time of the crash. Alcohol and drugs are not suspected as factors in this crash, and the crash is currently still under investigation. The Ohio State Highway Patrol was assisted on scene by the Ashland County Sheriff's Office, the Ohio Department of Transportation, Ashland County EMA, Ashland Fire and EMS, Hayesville Fire and EMS, Life Flight, Ashland County Coroner, and Abers Towing. A Warsaw man received his sentence for two cases this week in Holmes County Common Pleas Court. On Thursday, Michael Shaw would appear before Judge Sean Warner for his sentencing in a case from July 2024, where he was charged with a fifth-degree felony of possession of cocaine and a first-degree misdemeanor operating a vehicle under the influence of alcohol or drugs. The second case would be from August 2025, where he was charged with a fourth-degree felony failure to comply with order of police officer and a first-degree misdemeanor operating a vehicle under the influence of alcohol or drugs. He would have participated in treatment in lieu of conviction for the case from 2024, but that would be revoked in 2025. Shaw's attorney, Beau Cross, would provide Judge Warner with documents before speaking before the court. Cross would ask that any sentencing for the early case run concurrent to the 2025 case. He says, for the most part, Shaw has been compliant through the process, has employment, takes care of his grandmother, and has participated in counseling sessions. He did acknowledge that there were some mandatory sentencing items that Shaw faces.
There was a residential sanction of SRCCC. Again, the court has a discretion to sentence Mr. Shaw how it sees fit. But with that said, Judge, I would ask the court to impose a $715 fine on Mr. Shaw, impose a three-year license suspension in the aggregate. Mr. Shaw may have a little bit of jail time credit against this sentence. And I would note, Your Honor, Mr. Shaw's ultimate compliance while on pretrial ankle monitor supervision, compliance with reporting, communication with the probation department. He's done exceptionally well for himself. It's unfortunate we found ourselves in this position of essentially an alcohol relapse for offenses that began with what was a possession of cocaine charge. But I really don't, in my heart, Judge, feel that cocaine was ever Mr. Shaw's significant vice. I do believe this is alcohol that's been his concern.
Shaw would have the opportunity to speak to the court.
I was just wanting to say that I don't live with my grandma, but we live on the same property, and she's elderly, and I just don't feel that I could be gone that long. As far as the SRCCC place is 6 months, I just feel she needs me more, you know. There's nothing I can say. She needs me, and I don't know. That's about it.
Assistant Prosecuting Attorney John Hammers had the opportunity to address the court, saying that he was aware there had been a joint recommendation.
With regard to the sentence, the state would defer to the court. It's the state's understanding that as of this afternoon, there was some sort of incident downstairs with Mr. Shaw and probation. PRO brought that to my attention. There's some question about the urine sample he provided today, some sort of verbal altercation that involved security getting involved. I don't know all the facts of that other than what was brought to my attention shortly before sentencing by P.L. Arnold. The court should inquire in that and take that into consideration.
Officer Arnold from the probation department would be asked to share information about Shaw, and she said that she had just obtained a sample from Shaw before court and that it seemed diluted and watery. And when questioned, Shaw got loud and upset, and Officer McElroy had to intervene. She says that she does have concerns that he keeps trying to use the probation department as his attorney and continues to place blame on the justice system, probation department, and the officers for the position he is in now.
This is his second OVI in almost 15 months. He does have some behavior issues. He does feel that there's no consequences, and he feels that he should not have to have consequences. And as to his employment, he just started employment in October. It is seasonal. He worked that position last year while I had him on intervention in Lil, and it only runs till generally about the end of February because he works at Fanatics that does the sports memorabilia. So as to his grandmother, he does live on the property. She does have some diminishing cognitive levels going on, but she is functional and she does get around herself and take care of her own affairs. So she is not solely dependent on the defendant.
Shaw would make comments regarding his view of the situation prior to the sentencing starting. Before going into sentencing, Judge Warner would say a few words to Shaw that regardless of what happened with probation prior to court, he was going back and forth on whether he should send Shaw to prison versus SRCCC, but Stark does have programming.
From the outset, and even in your PSI, you're griping about how long you used your blinker and whether the turn you made was too wide or not. What difference does that make when your blood alcohol is three times the legal limit? Do you understand the inherent disconnect and failure to appreciate the wrongness of your conduct when you're arguing about whether you took the turn or the blinker was correct? Completely ignoring the fact that you were an absolute menace and danger on the road at the time that you were pulled over. Do you get why that might make some of us in the justice system a little irate?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because I'm not sure that you do. I think you should be thanking your lucky stars that I am, in fact, going to be sending you to Stark. You're going to be taken into custody. You're going to stay there until you're admitted to Stark. It should be shortly. And as far as your grandmother, maybe she does need your help. But that's something you should have thought about before you had cocaine and were driving drunk in 24, and then you decided to do it again while that case was pending. So very sympathetic toward your grandma, but she's going to have to find somebody more reliable to take care of her. So that doesn't hold any weight with me whatsoever.
Judge Warner would say that Shaw is in violation of the conviction in lieu from the 2024 case and that the OVI in that case was handled in Muni Court. He would give Shaw community control to run concurrent with 2025's case, where he would also receive community control.
The court does impose a residential sanction pursuant to revised code 29-2916. The defendant will successfully complete programming and serve a term of up to 6 months at Stark Regional Community Correction Center. Court imposes upon his release from Stark Regional the non-residential sanctions, including he may not leave the state without permission of his probation officer, must follow all state, local, and federal laws, serve a term of reporting until further order of the court, perform 50 hours community service. His level of supervision will be intensive. We abstain from the use of both alcohol and drugs, subject to random drug and alcohol testing. Complete a mental health evaluation and drug and alcohol assessment. Now, I understand you've already done that, but you need to continue to follow.
He would add that Shaw must pay a $400 probation fee, the cost of prosecution, and the $715 mandatory fine.
Defendant's driver's license on count one on the failure to comply is suspended for a definite period of 4 years beginning on today's date. That's a class two suspension. I will also impose a license suspension on count two for a period of 3 years, but that will run concurrent with the first suspension. The court is ordering the mandatory 20 days jail sentence on count two, but that'll run concurrent with your time in custody of the Holmes County Sheriff, awaiting entry into SRCCC as well as any time that you spend in SRCCC.
Shaw would be remanded to the custody of the Holmes County Sheriff, awaiting availability into SRCCC. The Holmes County Sheriff reported for yesterday 4 accidents, 9 incidents, and this arrest. Eric Lee Miller of Millersburg, who's arrested and charged with illegal use or possession of drug paraphernalia. Activists are pushing the Franklin County Municipal Court to change its rule about allowing ICE agents to arrest people inside the courthouse. The court says ICE detained 20 people at the courthouse in 2025 and one so far this year. The organization Common Cause Ohio says thousands have sent letters to municipal court judges calling for change. A local immigration attorney says many of his clients are afraid of the potential ICE presence. Municipal court judges released a joint statement writing in part, quote, "The court continues to examine all legal considerations to ensure its decisions follow the law and serve public safety and justice," end quote. The Franklin County Common Pleas Court, which is next door to the municipal court, does not allow ICE agents to make arrests. Akron's City Council has passed new legislation opposing four immigration bills moving through the State House. Akron City Council unanimously passed a resolution opposing State House bills that would require local law enforcement to coordinate with federal agents on immigration crackdowns. Mayor Seamus Malik introduced an emergency resolution Monday afternoon before Monday night's council meeting. The resolution opposes House Bills 2642 and 281, which remain in committee, and Senate Bill 172, now advancing in the House, that would expand cooperation with federal immigration enforcement across the state agencies, law enforcement, hospitals, courts, and schools. There are new details after a contractor was found dead inside a trash compactor at a Shaker Heights CVS store. Shaker Heights police say officers were called to CVS on Chagrin Boulevard after 34-year-old Andrew Strand's wife tracked his phone to the property where he was working as a contractor on Wednesday, February 4th. His body was later found inside of a trash compactor behind the building. The medical examiner has ruled this is an accidental death. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration also confirms they are investigating, but it could take at least 6 months because a death was involved. In Sylvania, officials with Lourdes University announced this week that the school will close at the end of the academic year. Lourdes' closing may have you wondering what's next when it comes to the 84-acre property. The university's president says the Sisters of St. Francis of Sylvania, who own the school, are looking to have what's called a campus legacy covenant. That's a last will that will detail what will happen to every aspect of the campus. No plans are set in stone just yet, but she says they want to be strategic in keeping the buildings functional and with purpose. In Jackson Township in Stark County, a teenager is facing charges related to multiple vehicle arsons. A Jackson Township teen is facing a felony charge after police say he set two carport fires, destroying cars and injuring a resident. Police say the 15-year-old targeted carports at the Lake Cable Village Apartments. The first fire broke out Tuesday afternoon on South Boulevard, the second 24 hours later on Lassiter Street. The teen faces charges of both aggravated arson, a first-degree felony, and arson, a fourth-degree felony. And finally, here in Ohio, despite higher costs this year, roses continue to be in demand for Valentine's Day, as does college and professional sports merchandise and even books. However, that may not follow the national trend. This Valentine's Day, the way to most people's hearts is through their stomachs. According to the National Retail Federation, the most popular Valentine's Day gifts this year are candy, followed by greeting cards. Flowers come in at number three, and then date night, and last but not least, jewelry. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM.